Hey, time for you to reach your full potential. Getting into health and fitness, this is what you're missing. Going harder, push it to the limit. Go on a journey with genetics coach, Laura Phillips. Yeah, here to take you to the next level. Been in the health and fitness industry since 07. Working with so many athletes, push it to the limit with world champions, yeah, and some Paralympians. Hey, working from Brisbane to Singapore. We train, we going hard, all out, we keep it raw. Laura Phillips, let's go.
In this week's episode, I have the pleasure and privilege of speaking with coach and mentor Aidan Berenger from Prime Performance. And I'm really, really excited to bring this episode to you for so many reasons. It's hard to believe it's the first time I'm really diving deep on the topic of overcoming feeling insecure in the gym. But I, oddly enough, can relate to it. Yes. Me. I grew up doing gymnastics from the age of 5. I have been in the gym on and off since the age of, 8 or 9. And of course, now being, you know, the person I am and working the profession I work in, I've been training myself for the past 12 years consistently. And even I, from time to time, have moments of, oh my God, okay, here we are. Whew, deep breaths. I don't always know how to use the machines, guys. And you know I have T-Rex arms, so sometimes there are things that are just not made for my dimensions. It's a really, really powerful episode, and I'm so glad we captured the thoughts and powerful shares and insights from Aidan. It's easy to think that we have superhuman powers and we always feel confident, you know, in a bikini, on the beach, in board shorts, and in a place which can be littered with mirrors. And that's just not the case. We too are human. We can relate in a lot of ways, and it can be easier to feel at home in the gym than what you realize if you give yourself a chance to, and by making a little bit of eye contact and giving someone a smile. So please enjoy this episode. Again, I really, really, really want to thank Aidan for opening up and sharing so many valuable shares from personal experience. I hope you'll take it upon yourself to persevere, because at the end of the day, the common denominator we all have is we are there to better ourselves in our own way. And that's the beautiful thing about a gym. So be sure to connect with Aidan using the links provided. Leave any comments for us below and let us know what we should talk about next. Enjoy.
Hello.
Wow. OMG. Is everyone doing the mullet and mustache these days, or is that just a trend I'm noticing from afar?
So I'm currently now talking to you through my laptop speaker, mic. How's it sound?
Fine.
Yeah, I'll just do that then because I have other issues.
All good.
Sorry about that.
All good. How's it going? All right.
Yeah,
Prime Performance. Is that what it says?
Yeah. So that's a training company I'm with for a bunch of trainers around, currently around Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up there because myself and a couple other trainers were building like a course for new personal trainers. So doing videos and stuff in the works.
Hey, side project. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to talk about this because I put up the poll on my Insta stories and I just double checked 75% of people either often or sometimes felt intimidated in the gym. That's a lot of people. I mean, it's not the world's greatest sample size, but I had the most votes. I would say that got the most votes out of any poll I've ever done. So that says a lot, actually.
Did you have a chance to look at the type of people that were voting yes? And did you see any trends?
It's quite a mixture. So obviously some were personal trainers and in the health and fitness industry, and some were people who were maybe embarking on this chapter of the health and fitness where they're trying to get a little bit more proactive about it. Some were maybe a few years into proactively working on their health and fitness. It was quite a mixture, in fact. So it was interesting. Even some people who voted that they sometimes felt intimidated in the gym surprised me because they did seem a little more familiar with this kind of environment and this space. But people would be surprised to know I sometimes feel intimidated. And not even intimidated. I guess it's just refamiliarizing yourself with the layout, with the nature of the people. Some gyms are a little bit more, I guess, intense or maybe a little bit more bodybuilding focused, whereas others are maybe more family friendly, maybe female only. You know, every gym has a different energy, even between where I am. We have four locations and I'm currently in the CBD location. This is my preferred location because I like the intensity of it. So I like to train myself here versus our location, which is in Dempsey, slightly west and central at the same time, I guess. It's much more spa vibes. It's in an old colonial building, very high ceilings, very light, bright, airy. And so that works better for other people. But I guess what's interesting is obviously there are some spaces that are much more welcoming and friendly. And maybe what is friendly towards one population is not so friendly towards another. So I really want to unpack that and kind of pick up on your observations based on your experience as well.
Yeah, cool. It's interesting what you said about, the gym that you like to train in versus the gym you like to train clients in, because, you know, I've got some clients, especially like middle-aged to older people who really don't like the whole slamming weights and, you know, getting G'd up kind of vibes, where I love to train, you know, in an environment like that. So I'm always wary when I'm training my own, the gym that I work at, that I'm not coming across a certain way, you know, because I'm around clients or potential clients, which is a good and a bad thing, because it's like I've kind of got in the back of my mind that I need to be a certain way, where I'm, when I'm training at a gym that isn't my own gym, I can just forget about everyone else.
Totally. And having that separation can be even more conducive to your own training, I guess, because I really struggle to train at the Dempsey location. I struggle to train myself at the Dempsey location. I find it to be too echoey. The space, again, the ceilings are really high, which is nice if you're living there, but for a gym, it doesn't feel so intense. And it's interesting what you say about the maybe slightly older age bracket of clients, maybe not liking so much noise. I do find that's an issue with a lot of people. And if you're trying to give someone instructions and directions, and it's hard enough for them to be there in the first place because they don't identify as like a quote unquote gym goer, it's just another barrier. It's another hurdle. It's like, okay, it's hard enough that I got here and now I can't even hear what my trainer is saying. So I can totally, totally understand that. And then, you know, some people really like to get into their own head and are really noisy when they train. I know I make a ton of noise when I train. again, you know, respecting the client in front of you is very different to you trying to create the most optimal scenario for yourself. What is it that you feel that people gravitate towards? What is conducive to a space that people feel comfortable in?
Well, it's different for everyone, I think. And to generalize, I think people want to be around people like themselves, people that behave the way that they do, that care about the things that they do, that are just like them in as many ways as possible, I guess. And that can be sex. You know, I know a lot of women prefer to train in gyms with just women. But it can also be like, you know, your training goals as well. I know probably one of the better environments I've been in when it comes to training is when I used to train at Adonis, which is a mainly powerlifting / weightlifting, depending which one, but mainly powerlifting. For me at the time, the gym I was at, when I was doing powerlifting for a brief period, everyone's there for the same reason. Everyone cares about the same stuff. And that just helps a lot with relieving kind of anxiety. There wasn't any of that, you know, that kind of energy when people are competing in the gym, like silently.
That might be me.
Oops. It's subconsciously, I think it's easy to do it. But if you're not being a dick, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to intimidate people or coming across with that energy, you know, I think that is important as well, like what your intentions are. And also if you're someone who is a little bit anxious and stressed in the gym, understanding that people if someone looks intimidating or is giving off a very aggressive energy, if you spoke to them in between their sets, they'd probably just switch straight away and just speak to you normally, like a, you know, really friendly. It's just the way that they're, you know, getting into the space they need to get into mentally.
I think that's such a great point that, you know, there is a real difference between noticing what someone else is lifting versus grunting and groaning and slamming weights, maybe for the sake of pointing out that you're lifting more than them. But back to your point about like not being a dick about it, you can make mental notes, but you don't have to have everybody around you notice that you're the strongest person in the room. Because if you're the strongest person in the room, people probably know anyway. You don't have to go out of your way to make it so obvious. And even so, like, good for you. Who's going to give you a gold medal? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
What is your end goal in doing that? And to highlight how people can be in a very different headspace when they train versus outside of that set or outside of that workout. Because I like to think I'm a lot friendlier than my resting gym face. And I am not friendly when I train. That is me time. That is me getting into a very specific headspace, which when you're an athlete, you understand the specificities of that headspace. You know the type of music, you know the type of food you have before training and when you eat, you know, is it 2 hours, is it 1 hour, is it right before? You understand the quality of sleep you need to get the night before. You understand what you're training that day. You know what the program is. There's a lot that goes into optimizing that workout, or at least doing your best to optimize that workout. There's a lot of routine. There's a lot of but it's a very specific headspace, and it is that way because it's designed to get a certain outcome. So we can't have too many variables interfere with that. And for a lot of people, talking is going to interfere with that. Taking earphones out is going to interfere with that. Breaking or resting for too long is going to interfere with that. So if you want to see a person at their best, it's not always going to be them during an intense workout on gym floor, grunting and sweating and swearing and spluttering. You know, we can be really quick to judge what we see on gym floor and think that person is exactly the same in every other facet of life. But it's not the case. I personally, again, not friendly when I work out. If I see someone I know, I might say hi, but most likely I'll keep my earphones in and I'm going to more or less just keep doing what I'm doing. Unless my hair is on fire, like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, apart from that, those 1 to 2 hours when you're in the gym, when else are you, you know, able to channel your aggression in that way? So, you know, you want to stay in that mind frame, especially these days. There's so many distractions. It doesn't help, you know, like your phones and whatever else as well. So being able to stay focused and stay in that mindset, I think is quite important.
Really. And it's, again, for people who are entering the gym for the first time or, you know, for the first month, and are not so well versed with this kind of environment, it's going to be tricky because you're just going to have to say hi to people. You're going to have to say hi to people who look really scary, who seem to do really scary things, who don't seem friendly at all. But if you can break the ice with those people, as you said, I mean, a lot of the people in the gyms that I've been in between Australia and Singapore, they want to help you because that's the beautiful thing about a space of this nature. What we all have in common is we're here to better ourselves. And that looks different for different people. For some people, it's recovering from an injury. For some people, it's just having an hour of me time. For some people, it's doing a PR or a PB. For some people, it's training towards a competition or a meet. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what we have in common is we're here to improve. You know, and sometimes it's more mental improvement than physical, and sometimes it's more physical than mental. But that's the great thing. You may walk into a gym and feel like you have absolutely nothing in common with the people here, but guarantee you, you have more in common than what you realize if you take just a moment to connect with people. And just, if you're not inclined to say hi, like, just smile, you know, just start with a smile,
just look up. I think, you know, between sets, try not to get stuck in the trap of burying your head in your phone. because you're nervous between, you know, each set. Mm-hmm. It's, I remember when I first started training, I was lucky enough that I didn't even have a phone yet. I think I was 15, 16. I didn't own a phone.
Before we had phones, how did we all get by? I remember the phones.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong though, at this point, phones were a thing. And my parents were just like, nah, you know, there's not no need to have one. Mm-hmm. And I was salty about it at the time, but I think it was a good thing in the long run. But, mm-hmm. you know, going to the gym, I was lucky enough for some reason. I was quite anxious in some ways outside of training, but mm-hmm. going to the gym, I was just so excited mm-hmm. that I kind of gave people the opportunity to talk to me, because I was just looking at people, I was smiling. Every now and then I'd just like ask questions or, you know, say hello. And there were so many of the big guys I looked up to that actually taught me so much and made me feel comfortable, because I was coming in with that kind of just that excitement, and people could tell, you know, I wasn't closed off, and that's quite hard. And I think part of that as well was a bit of that naivety you have when you're young. I kind of thought as well, like, oh, you know, I'm capable. I can lift heavy weights, even though I really couldn't at the time. But just coming with that mindset, it allowed people to talk to me, and that helps a lot.
Mm. Let me just plug my computer in. Hang on, it's low battery. But I think you're so right in that it's a two-way street, right? We can blame people and fitness environments for being intimidating, or we can take responsibility of our own emotions and go, oh, I'm noticing that I feel intimidated. Okay, why might that be? What is it that is leaving me feeling this way? Because most of the time, it's projection. We think other people are judging us. It's the spotlight effect, right? We think people are noticing us. And actually, people are noticing their phone. And people people are caught up in their own problems. They think about, okay, what am I going to... This is me. What am I going to eat next? What do I have to do when I get home? What do I have to do after dinner before going to bed? What is it that I haven't yet communicated to my assistant today? What is it that I need to update her on? They're more of the main thoughts that come to mind. Whether mm-hmm. someone is doing something in a gym that is correct or incorrect, you know, my assumption is most of it is incorrect. That's just what I've observed. But I don't think less of a person because of that. I think the person is doing the best that they can based on what they know and what they understand and where they're at in their journey. And so power to them. You can't do better than that, right? And I'm the same. I'm sure people have seen me do things and gone, what the heck is she doing? And, you know, fair play. I've been training for 12 consecutive years now, more or less. There have been times where I've definitely done things in a suboptimal way, to throw that term around. And that's just part of the learning curve, right? Sometimes you have to try things that are not so popular or mainstream. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes there's a reason why it works out for you. But again, you have to let yourself go on that journey. And if you're going to think that everyone is thinking about you and project your insecurities onto everyone around you, you'll never be able to be consistent, because that's always going to be what prevents you from taking the next step. And prevent you from doing the next workout, prevent you from going back, prevent you from training when it's busy. You know, you'll always have a reason not to if you think everyone is thinking about you. But also, if they're judging you, who cares? It's not like we've never judged anyone before. I mean, who can actually put their hand up and say, I've never judged a person in my life? I don't think anyone can say that. That's just human nature.
Yeah. And you're not going to know anyway. And I think something I tell clients often, if they are feeling anxious about something or just fearful of something, is instead of being like, try and get them to start looking at the positives of it. I think there's value in that. But I'll be like, okay, let's go down this kind of rabbit hole you're going down. You know, let's really like dig into this fear. What are you actually afraid of? And you said that initially just then, you know, what is it you're actually afraid of? Identify that. Maybe that's, you know, you're afraid of doing something wrong. Let's keep going down that path. Let's say you are doing something wrong. Let's say everyone in the gym notices. Worst case scenario, everyone notices. They all start thinking about you. Probably the worst outcome from that is someone comes up to you and corrects you and speaks to you about it. Right. I doubt someone's going to get their phone out and start filming you unless, you know, you're doing one of those real crazy shit from, you know, you see on social media. But quite often if we go down that path, then you'll realize the worst possible outcome or the worst likely outcome isn't that bad at the end of the day. You know, you're going to come out of it. If someone does come up to you and speak to you about it, you're going to come off better anyway. And what is most likely going to happen is people will just think about you, say something in their head, and then just move on. Really.
And we have to make peace with the fact that whether someone likes us or not, based on having had no interaction with us, is really none of our business. I mean, you can walk into any room and by doing nothing have people hate you. And you can walk into a room and do absolutely nothing and have people like you. And the difference is the same. It's the person. It's how that person is perceiving you. So if you want to feel like you've increased your chances of being liked, go into a room and present yourself as a likable person. And that includes the gym. Like, again, you can project onto everybody else and blame gym spaces and blame the people in that environment for leaving you feel intimidated, where you were the victim of that. And then you're in a powerless position versus taking a moment to observe, okay, I'm feeling anxious. Okay, because I think people might judge me if I do this incorrectly. Okay. But as you say, entertain that thought, then what happens? So people think that your technique is not correct. And like, and then what?
Yeah.
And if they correct you, well, then it's on you whether you take that on board or not. If you get some amazing feedback on how you could be more efficient in that push-up, then is that not worth going to the gym for? Because again, aren't you there to get better? You're not there to be liked, surely. I mean, if you make friends in the process, great. But the whole point of people going there is because they're on the same page with being a better version of themselves, being a stronger version of themselves, being a more confident version of themselves. And that comes with going through that somewhat uncomfortable stage of finding your feet in a new space. And I think all too often we think that the barrier is the other people. No, the barrier is us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to put it on someone else instead of going, okay, well, these are my insecurities and I can create space for them and sit with them and let them be there and still have an effective workout.
Without a doubt. And I like how you said that point about all of us being there for the same reason. And, you know, it's easy to go into the gym and see people. And obviously the first thing we go off as humans is how people look. Mm. We make all these assumptions based on how people look.
Mm-hmm.
We make assumptions about their experience in the gym, you know, how much they know, all these kind of things. But as you start training more and more, you realize there's so much more to it, you know, whether it's genetics, you know, lifestyle habits, drugs, whatever it is, that all plays a part into how people look. And the probably the only commonality between, you know, your regulars at the gym when you are going is that hunger just to want to be better, to do a little bit more than you did last week, you know, that need for improvement. Mm-hmm. And really that's something that creates community, I think. That shared value, what I was mentioning earlier about people want to be around people like themselves. If you share values like that, then and you understand that you share values like that, it makes it a little bit more comfortable.
Mm. And two, I think we have to let ourselves be new to something. You know, the number of times, I'm sure you've had this as well, where you'll introduce people to the space, like, okay, this is where our training will take place. And often when people walk in, so to give context, I'm from a PT studio. Are you also, you're a PT studio or you're a commercial gym?
No, I'm in a commercial gym when I do face-to-face, yeah.
Okay, so a little bit, maybe a little bit different. Maybe not. I guess because people here when they're training have been working with a trainer for some time, you know, by and large. When new people step in, it's very easy for them to feel overwhelmed and be like, oh my God, everyone here is so fit. I'm like, okay. They're on chapter 12, you're in chapter 1. Let yourself be new. You don't get to chapter 12 until you've gone from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 12. Okay. Again, this is my 12th consecutive year of training. Before that, I was injured. Before that, I swam for 12 years with gym work tied into that. So you can't compare the cover of Men's Health magazine if you don't live that lifestyle, you know, to where you're at now. If you live a sedentary life, you're in a corporate job, you're a frequent flyer, you have a child, you have two children, and all the rest of it. It's not apples and apples. So again, where we project, we don't let ourselves succeed because we think, oh, I should be like that. I stepped foot into the gym and I don't look like all the fit people. Guess what? The quote unquote fit people didn't always look fit. How do you think they looked on their first day here? Not the same, I promise you. I mean, when I can remember my first day of this chapter of my training, I was 15 kilos heavier. I was more than double my body fat percentage. And it was the least healthy I'd been because I had a chronic inflammatory condition I was dealing with at the time. But, you know, people don't really connect the dots on that. It's like we get put on a pedestal. We are perceived to have some magical genetics. And it's like, I've just done this 5 days a week for like 12 years. I would think I would be good at it, if not like average at least, you know?
Yeah. And with any anxious situation, I feel like there's the ability to see an exciting aspect of it, you know? And that comes to a point that I've spoken about in the past, which is rephrasing kind of anxious states or emotions into exciting states or emotions. Because I remember that I saw one study that went, they got a group and they tried to get them to, I guess, not think about their anxious states. They put them into anxious situations, I think like sitting in front of just a crowd of people or something, a random crowd of people, had to sit there and look at them. And they got one group to just try and, I guess, suppress and stop thinking about their thoughts. And they got one group to try and change their thinking, I guess, to calm themselves down. So go from like this aroused state to a calm state. And they got one group to try and shift their thinking from anxious to excited by thinking about, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to overcome my fears. Think about all the opportunities in that environment. And they found that that last group had the greatest success. And part of that is because this anxious state physiologically is quite similar to excitement when you look at, you know, the physiological traits of it. So if you're able to tap into, you know, the opportunities in that situation, like instead of being like, you know, all these people here are so much more experienced than me, they're probably judging, and maybe switch to just something like, there's so many experienced people like here, maybe I could actually learn something from them. Or you know, maybe training around all these, you know, really jacked people is going to motivate me to come back, or whatever it is. I'm trying to find, because if you are anxious, it's probably because you care about it to a degree. And it's probably something there of value that you can shift your kind of your mind to help a little bit.
That's such a great like an alternative way to experience that emotion. And I was going to say the same thing. And this is something that I share with my clients too, when they say, oh, I'm nervous with their lifting weight that they've never lifted before. So it's going to be like a PR, PB for them. I'm like, good. Nervous is good. We can channel nerves in a really powerful way. Also, nervous is very, 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 very similar to excitement. So are you nervous or are you excited? Maybe you're both. And even better, now you have two emotions fueling what we're about to do. And so that's the potential outcome can be even greater because of that. And you're right. It's going, okay, well, this is my emotion now. Okay, cool. And what's your relationship with that emotion? Because again, I think that's just another layer of responsibility that we can take as people. Instead of just going, oh, I feel intimidated because it's loud and, you know, people are slamming weights and people are grunting and people are just sweating all over the machines and there's like grungy music on. Yeah, okay, that's cool. But the way that you are experiencing that is something that you can influence. And if you have negative connotation and associations with all of those characteristics, and if you continue to let that be how you experience that environment, then you'll always experience it the same way. So it's always going to seem intimidating. It's always going to seem, you know, really far out of your comfort zone. It's always going to seem overwhelming because you've not worked on your relationship to that space. You've not worked on your relationship to hearing, you know, sweaty men grunt and swear as they lift something heavy. Okay. And I understand that's a very unfamiliar experience for a lot of women. I kind of grew up in a gym. I was exposed to a very, very, very heavily bodybuilding style gym from 8 years of age. So I'm a bit more accustomed to it in that sense. But again, the more responsibility you take for how you experience these environments, the more influence you can have on that, the more you can shift it and shape it. And when you create that space to evolve that relationship, as you say, you can then start to change the way that you experience all those things, which initially can seem a bit scary. So again, oh my God, look, that man has like 4 plates on that bar. What is he doing? Do you know what? I've been trying to work on that exercise. Maybe he could teach me a thing or two. Maybe I could take some notes on where he places his hands on the bar. Maybe I could take note of his grip. Maybe I could take note on the way that he, you know, breathes. Is he holding his breath? Is he exhaling halfway through the movement? What's his routine before he sets himself up on the bench? You know, there's so many little tips and tricks and nuances which you learn over the years, which you are not going to know in year one. You're not going to know in year three, and you're not going to know in year five of training. You only really start to pick up on these things, I would say, for me, was much closer to like the seventh year of training. These finer details I started to pick up on. I started to, I guess, encounter a few more people on social media. I was like, oh, that's a good tip. Oh, note to self, I'm going to save that. I'm going to try that for myself. And if I could fast forward that process, I totally would.
Yeah.
I was just focused on different things. I was following different people. Social media was not as much of a, it was just not as social, I guess. I was not as active on social media. So again, when we add that layer of, okay, this is how I'm experiencing this environment. This is probably why I'm experiencing this environment in this way. How can I redefine that? How can I shape that? How can I shift that? You might just surprise yourself with how at home and comfortable and different you can feel if you give yourself the chance to experience it in a different way.
Yeah. And I feel like you can go a level deeper as well with not just your relationship with the environment, but your relationship with your thoughts that you're having in that environment. And if you go in kind of with the expectation, I'm going to experience some anxious thoughts when I jump into this environment, then it's going to be easier to put space between that earlier. Because quite often, I think when, you know, we get into a pit of emotion, whether that's anxiety or just sadness, whatever it is, we have the thought, we kind of judge ourselves as having that thought. Like it might be go in the gym, have an anxious thought about the people around you, maybe not looking good. And then you start to feel anxious and then you're like, oh shit, I feel anxious. And then that makes you more anxious and you get stuck, you know, you get stuck in that cycle.
Yeah.
Like it's like you're in a downward spiral and before you know it, you're freaking out, your hands are sweaty, you're shaking. But if you can go into that environment, understanding the feelings that you're going to feel and maybe even how to manage them from a physical, you know, physical standpoint, then you're going to be in a better spot to not spiral and to be able to like just move yourself out of that environment or take a second, you know, whatever it is.
You're so right in that often we create what we anticipate. And I see that in movement too. You know, if someone has previously, let's say, injured their knee or let's say sprained their ankle, if you get them to do something like a squat, they can go from acting like a fit, you know, 40-year-old to acting like an 80-year-old in 2 seconds. And it's not because there's anything necessarily, you know, disclaimer, not that there's anything necessarily structurally wrong with the knee. It's because they anticipate their knees are going to buckle and crumble underneath them the moment they use them. And it's such a valid point in that we often create what we anticipate. If we think the gym is going to be a scary, overwhelming, intimidating experience where we feel out of place, every emotion you have is going to be highlighted by that anticipation, by what you're expecting the outcome of that experience to be. So going into the gym, you know, we can maybe spend some time going, okay, I might feel intimidated and I can sit with that feeling and be okay with it because I'm here to better myself. Everyone is here to better themselves. And this is something that I can work through. And I often find grounding can help too. So if you just look around the room and you might want to pick a theme, name things that start with a certain letter, the name things that start with the letter G. Let's say there's grass, like AstroTurf, right? Green bumper plates. There's, you know, ways in which we can bring ourselves back to the moment because a lot of anxiety is actually just projecting what the future is going to be. You know, we get these elevated heart rates. We get like butterflies in the chest because we think something scary is going to happen. And when we bring ourselves back to the moment in the present, actually it alleviates a lot of that. And two, I think if we have some element of social anxiety, for me, I mean, moving to another country, not going to lie, I've had moments of social anxiousness. I guess I've just been very aware that I was the foreigner in the picture. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I am the only Angmo, which basically means foreigner. I am the only Caucasian, as far as the eye can see, on this train. Okay. I can be that person. I'm all right. Sure. Okay, the train is still moving. I'm still okay. My hair didn't catch on fire. Everyone's all right. So in a way, I can relate from a different angle. But what I've learned to do for myself, which really dissipates that anxiety, is just saying hello to people. Honestly, if I feel like someone's looking at me a strange way, like, oh, there's a white girl in Punggol. We don't see them here often. I feel like sometimes I get those looks and I'm like, hi. And then people smile and they say hi. I'm like, see, there's nothing to worry about. Like, no one is out to get you. The gym is not out to get you. This is such a space for positivity and power and potential if you let it be. And I think that's where people shoot themselves in the foot. They don't let it be that because they bring all this emotion up in front of them. And that just becomes like Mount Everest to climb on top of everything else, like trying to figure out where the levers go in a leg extension and a leg curl and where to set the cable for a tricep extension and you name it. Like, those details can seem like way too much to overcome when you're new to the gym. Such a valid point is, what is your relationship with your emotions? Chances are, if you just let yourself sit with them and breathe through them, everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. You said a lot there, so I apologize if I like forget to respond to one of the points. But I keep thinking about what you said, like the very start of that little section there, and that was about grounding. And you're saying how a lot of anxious thoughts you're kind of stuck thinking about the future. I think any negative emotion that you're kind of ruminating on is a byproduct of you not being present in that moment. Like, if you're maxing out on a squat and you're trying to get up, you're not worrying about, you know, like your test at school or like any work shit when you're trying to get up, when the bar's under you, right? Because so much attention and energy is drawn into that moment. So like you said, grounding, where you're actually, you know, using your visuals, like using that visual space to look for things, focusing on that, it gives you a bit of space away from those thoughts. Mm. And if you are focusing on your breath, for example, not only does focusing on your breath and slowing down your exhales calm you from a physical standpoint, but you're now putting all your attention onto one point, like outside of your mind. Mm. And that's what the main focus is of mindfulness practice, mindfulness meditation. You know, trying to almost like anchor your awareness to something and acknowledging when it moves away and then working at bringing it back to that thing. It kind of builds that muscle and it helps you, I guess, not get stuck into those downward spirals I was talking about earlier. It kind of allows you to detach and gives you space from that earlier.
Completely. And interestingly, breathing is something we can do, I guess, passively, you know, without thinking about it. The body will make sure we take in enough oxygen. And it's another thing that we can actually control. We don't have any other bodily function of that nature where it will automatically happen and we can control it. I mean, yes, I can increase my heart rate by breathing faster and running up and down stairs. But if I just stand here and I think about elevating my heart rate, it's not really going to elevate that much, you know, like my influence on that is not as great versus I can go from taking, let's say, 12 breaths a minute to taking 5 breaths a minute very consciously. And at the same time, if I'm not thinking about that, yes, my body will still make sure that I'm breathing, even if I'm not focused on it. So that's the beauty of breathing and returning to breath, is that we have so much immediate control and immediate influence on it. And for someone who has a tendency to feel anxious, whether that's in the gym or outside of the gym, it's that one anchor point, as you say, that we can always bring ourselves back to. It's like, I always have influence over my breath. Okay, unless you're having an asthma attack, that might be different. But then you want to call an ambulance pretty quickly. I think it's a great thing to be aware of our awareness, that it is just a muscle. Being comfortable in getting uncomfortable is not just something that you do in the gym and from the standpoint of lifting weights. For a lot of people, that looks like approaching a stranger and asking for a spot. And we get better at doing uncomfortable things by doing uncomfortable things. I mean, there's just no shortcut. People want a shortcut. They want a quick fix. They want their golden ticket. They want, what's the magic pill to lose 5 kilos? Sorry, it doesn't exist. It's called do it.
Yep.
Talk to the stranger. They're friendly than their resting gym face.
I feel like an issue with that, though, for a lot of people is they set the standard of just doing it so high that they can never, like, take that first step. Mm. And when it comes to any fear, you need to ease into it gradually. Some people can just say, fuck it, I'm just – oh, sorry for swearing. I don't know if I can swear on this one.
We swear here. It's a swear.
Okay.
It's a swearing-friendly zone.
Okay. And just go for it. And it's something, you know, really out of their depths because – but most of those people, they've had experiences before and they kind of can draw out the excitement of doing uncomfortable things. You know, they can shift that, you know, look at the exciting aspects of it. But if you're someone who is really prone to anxious states and you stepping out of your comfort zone is something you haven't done in a long time, because it is like a muscle, if you don't do it for a long time, you just lose the ability to do it. Then if you are setting your standard too high, you're just not going to be able to act. So just doing little things at a time, you know, if you're someone who wants to train at the gym 3 times a week, but, you know, you've been training at home previously, and you train like 3 times a week, whatever it is, then, you know, go to the gym 1 time a week, train at home, you know, a couple times a week. Once you're comfortable doing that, you know, do another session in the gym. Just ease into it. And because I feel like when it comes to building confidence in yourself, you need to be able to consistently do what you set out to do and what you tell yourself you're going to do. Mm. And I don't necessarily mean like, you know, setting out to ace a test and then, you know, you just fall short. Because in that situation, it's more like, I'm going to study, I'm going to try my best and doing that. Mm. You know, controlling the things that you tell yourself you're going to control and you can control is really important. And if you continuously set the standard too high and you fall short because you overestimated yourself, then you're going to feel guilty, you're going to lose confidence in yourself, your self-esteem is going to go down. So if you can give yourself as many opportunities to have as many wins as possible, then your anxiety is going to go down, your confidence in yourself is going to go up. And I mean, that's what you need really if you want to make any changes.
Totally. I feel confidence is not something that you can force, but going through the same process and routines can get you there a lot faster. So as you say, for me, a lot of it also comes down to confidence. I should specify, a lot of it comes down to integrity, doing what you said you were going to do. So, and we need to be careful when we say that, not losing 10 kilos like you said you were going to lose 10 kilos. We want to think about more process-oriented things. Yeah. And honestly, even it can be as simple as replying to a message. How many times have you said to someone, I'll reply to you by like 7 p.m. and you go to bed, you wake up in the middle of the night, you realize you haven't done it. You do it the first thing the next morning. How many times have you said, I'll take the bin out. It's Tuesday night. Recycling bin has to go out. I'll take it out this morning so I don't have to do it tonight. And you hear the bin truck coming at whatever time it is and you have to run to go and get it. It's really the essence of confidence for me is integrity. I said I was going to do this. Yeah. I did it. Then you start to build the bank of evidence that you can deliver on what you said you're going to. And you're right, a lot of people have a bank of evidence that they've failed because they said they were going to do something and they didn't do it. They said they were going to do something else. They didn't do that. They said they were going to get up on Monday morning, go for a walk. It was raining. They slept in. They said that they were going to, let's just use probably a common example, cut carbs or maybe cut alcohol for a whole month. First day of the month was a Saturday, so we went to someone's party, had pizza, and of course we drank alcohol. So again, they're going against themselves, they're going in opposing directions. When your intentions go one way but your actions go in another, you have this internal friction. You can't have confidence when you're working against yourself. When you have that internal friction, it's not conducive to, you know, alignment and integrity. And alignment is when your words and your actions are in parallel, they're going in the same direction, not I said I was going to do this but I didn't do it. And honestly, it can be as simple as that. Just spend a week, just people listening, spend a week taking notice of what you say you're going to do and observe how many times you actually do that. You know, if you say you're going to leave the house by 5:30 to get to the gym before work, how many times do you actually leave the house by 5:30? Not 5:31, no. If you said 5:30, it means 5:30. That's what it means. And start to pay attention. If you can improve on that by 10%, you'll notice a huge difference. If you improve on that by 20% over the next 3 months, you'll feel like a different person. And if you build on that, it has quite the multiplying effect, because confidence breeds confidence. Then your attention is on all this evidence and where you've done what you said you're going to do. You're feeling successful. You're gaining momentum. And suddenly doing what you said you're going to do is like second nature. It's not, oh, I said I was going to get my mom's birthday present a month early because she's traveling and I'm traveling, so I don't have as much time to get it. And now suddenly it's her birthday and she has no gift, right? Like,
yep.
That's what people need to really focus on. If they want to build confidence, that to me is where I start with a lot of people.
Yeah, that point about building that bank of evidence for yourself is something I talk about a lot, specifically in the sense of changing or forming your identity and how you perceive yourself. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and he was talking about the fact that I said something about he presented something, and he started posting some more videos on social media and stuff like that. And I said, man, like, your videos are really good. Like, how do you feel? It's really good that you're getting out of your comfort zone. He's like, oh yeah, I feel all right. I feel good about it, but I've just never been a confident person. I've never been someone who's able to do public speaking or whatever it is. And I had a conversation with him. I'm like, you think you're that person because for the last, say he's 25, I don't know how old he is, 25, mm-hmm. and he's been doing this stuff for a year. Mm-hmm. He has 24 years of evidence to support his identity. And I'm like, you're not going to feel like that person. But if you just understand that your identity will be shaped by your behavior,
mm-hmm.
and that gives that little bit of extra motivation to be like, no, okay, I can actually change this. I'm in control of this. And then you have that accountability. You know, you start to develop that accountability for yourself, because as you said, there's positive benefits of holding yourself accountable, and also consequences if you don't, mm-hmm. that you don't realize as well. It comes back to the point of make sure you can set out what you tell yourself you're going to do, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's consequences if you don't, the way you see yourself and perceive yourself.
Guys, that's it. That's a wrap. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Real Talk with your gal pal. That's me, Laura Rogers. Please be sure to leave us a review, give us your feedback on what else you would like me to talk about. I always want to deliver content on things that excite you and that are going to benefit you in your health and fitness journey. So do give us a review. Before you forget, I know you're busy. I got to run off and record another episode. Do check us out on the other social media platforms listed below as well, because you might just like what you see or hear there. So, you know, be sure to do that. I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode. And again, please leave us a review. Let us know your thoughts. It would mean the absolute world to me. Stay healthy, and I'll see you in the next one.